had a big mill in Pagosa Springs at one time. That was the biggest Sullenberger, you know, down just south of Pagosa Springs there.
Yes. Who owned that?
Sullenberger.
Sullenberger. Well, okay.
Then there was other mills, little mills, away from the track where they hauled their material into the track mm-hmm. for loading. Mm-hmm. There was lots of timber up there at that time. I could clean it all out.
Was there at one time a special railroad there at Pagosa Springs, Boggs or Biggs or something like that?
Well, they built...
Because I have a photo that shows an engine.
Yeah, that was from Edith.
Yeah?
They were up... Those are all timber roads up in Zoo there.
Uh-huh.
And the sawmill was at Edith. That was a few miles out of Lumberton.
Out of Lumberton. Uh-huh. Yeah, all right.
But there was other railroads that come up into that area. One went up the San Juan from Juanita. Could almost come into Pagosa Springs. And we had several other spurs with the Pounds Lumber Company up in Navajo and down this side of what they call Pounds Spur.
Yeah.
So we hauled a lot of lumber out of there at one time. They finally moved over to... Dulce and worked out of there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there was two mills at Dulce. First was the Sullenberger outfit. I forget what they call that name of that company at that time. They were there first, and then Pounds moved in after.
Pounds moved in, yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You take on many passengers or anything at Dulce? The Indians use it much?
Oh, yes, the Indians always are riding someplace, one way or the other. One way Durango.
Or going up toward
going
Denver.
Going to Espanola, or to Chama to go down to Espanola.
Espanola.
Santa Fe, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Santa Fe. Yeah.
The roads were getting improved so much that it was easier for people to travel by car than one thing or another.
Yes.
That's a big detriment to the railroad.
Yeah.
Take like on the Silverton Rush before we ever had the highway up through there, why we used to travel... load the automobiles in coal cars.
All right.
And we would have maybe 6 or 7 coal cars going to Silverton every day mm-hmm. with the 2 cars in each car.
How'd you get them on? Just drove them on there?
They drove them right on.
Right on from a platform. Yeah. Yeah.
Then mm-hmm. we'd do the same thing in Silverton. We'd mm-hmm. pull up to the depot platform on mm-hmm. the sidetrack there, or spur track, and they would drive their cars off.
Right off.
We would hook them up together, load another bunch of cars, go into Durango.
Come back,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that lasted how long?
Well, it lasted...
till they got a good road up over Molas.
26, 27, 28, somewhere in there. I don't remember just when.
Because they were a long time getting that road not only graveled and then later on paved.
Yeah.
But they were a long time getting the road done.
That's right.
Yeah.
There just was no road there.
Just went down through Lime Creek and up that way and it was a windy, torturous... Yeah. Thing hard to get over.
Well, it was a little narrow at times. Some of the people sure hated to drive it, I'll tell you.
Okay. What do you think of anything else in that period in the early Depression that affected the railroad tremendously? Was there any help from the federal government or anything for railroads? Were you still carrying the mail and getting paid for it?
We were carrying the mail up until they abandoned passenger service altogether.
We
had a mail car on the with a regular mail railway post office.
Railway post office, yes.
Yeah. And they were when they abandoned the rail service in 51, well, that was it. They took everything off.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was just pretty, was there any lowering of freight rates or anything like that in the early 1930s?
I really don't know much about the freight rates. I never come involved too much, although I run a lot of trains. I probably run more.
Yeah, but that wasn't your business. Okay, Alvy, now, in the period 1935 to 1945, and that's going to bring in the war, what do you remember mainly about the road? Were there any bankruptcies, receiverships in the last part of the Depression and before the war, let's say 35 to 41?
Well, the railroad was still in receivership. under Wilson McCarthy and Henry Swan.
Yes, okay.
And I think the same program that they had been lined on was still in effect, because during the war years there, they tried to, well, the government wanted to requisition all of the engines that we had at that time.
Yeah.
And some off of the Rio Grande Southern, so we sent, the chamber was involved in this.
Okay.
Actually, at that time. In fact, the city council and the county commissioners were after me very much during that period of time to see what we could do with, get the brotherhoods interested in that,
yes,
too, because they were would be involved.
Okay. I want to ask you one question.
Yeah.
Before we get off of some of that war business, we'll get back to the way they took engines and,
yeah,
sent them to Alaska or wherever, I don't know. But how much uranium and or the products of the smelters did you haul out of here, do you think, during the war?
We hauled no uranium.
None.
It was all trucked from...
It was all trucks.
The vanadium, the uranium was processed in Durango, a lot of it, and then it was hauled by truck to Grand Junction.
All right.
Very little of it went by rail. There's a few shipments, but I would say that it wasn't very many.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Now, getting back to the war years and the way they wanted to take engines, locomotives, off of the Denver and Rio Grande, what really happened there?
Well, we sent, when I say we, I'm talking about
the railroad.
All the people, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the people here that's against the government and the railroad are doing this. They sent Judge Rorick to Washington to see that they didn't do this. So they did leave three of the 470s here, which are still here. They took one engine off of the Silver Northern, I think two off the Rio Grande Southern as butt ends.
Yeah.
And then they removed 10 pounds of 90-pound rail from the Silverton branch that hadn't been replaced, and moved it to build a spur into Fort Carson from the main line.
Yes.
And, of course, conscription, or the draftees business come in there, and we had them on the train for a while, but before the war ended, the railroad company was removing both passengers and the government people off of the train onto their bus.
Where did they do that?
They evidently did that in Denver.
In
they
Denver.
Moved, mm-hmm. Told them there was no bus service west of or no rail service west of Alamosa.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very friendly with Senator Johnson, and so I wrote him on...
Senator Ed Johnson,
Senator
Big Ed,
Johnson,
former,
yes,
governor. Yes, okay.
And so I wrote him a letter and told him that these draftees should be going out on the railroad rather than on the bus. And I said, the railroad is using that propaganda to discount the railroad here as not being important.
Mm-hmm.
And his answer was that we got the inductees back on the railroad.
Uh-huh.
They went out of here by rail.
Good. They went out of here by rail. Did it affect Denver or any place like that, too?
No, it didn't affect any place but here.
Just here. Uh-huh. And it was part of a ploy of the railroad, really, to cut down passenger service.
Cut down
looking toward abandonment of passenger,
right,
service someday,
that's
okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Senator Johnson could see that, as you could.
Yes.
Okay. And Judge O'Rourke, that you mentioned, he was the district court judge here in Durango.
He was.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, also during the war, now those locomotives, they were taken and put on the Alaska Railroad, is that correct?
Yes, that's where they were to go to, but they only received six of them. One of them they dropped in the bay at Seattle.
Loading it on a ship.
Loading it on a ship.
Yeah. Is it still there, I suppose?
I suppose.
Okay.
I don't know how deep the bay is there. And some of the other equipment, while it reached up there, they didn't use it very long.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Did any of it ever get back to the Denver and Rio Grande?
No,
here?
I don't think any of it ever got back to it. They had an opportunity to buy it at one time and buy those engines back.
At yeah, the government market. Had recompensed yeah. them for it yeah. To begin with, had bought yeah. them. Okay. And they had a chance to buy it
and
back,
buy
and I
back.
Expect pretty cheap.
Yeah, pretty cheap. Yeah. They wouldn't take it up.
Yeah. Again, the railroad was looking a little bit toward abandonment, don't you imagine,
I
even
imagine.
In then?
I imagine that's
okay.
Exactly.
Do you think of anything during the war, many wrecks, things like that? Was it hard to get personnel? What was it like running a railroad during the war?
Well, not much different than it was any other time. Of course, we were
it was never taken over by the government,
no.
as it was in 1918.
No. We ought to mention how all this Badger equipment was used to bring in these boys that were... from the Depression years for the CC camps.
Well, tell me about that. Let's go back a little bit and tell me about the CCC camp.
I forgot that, but we
yes,
called,
that was part of the Depression.
Yes.
All
we
right.
hauled, just prior to 35, anyway,
yes.
we hauled train after train load here. Several trains went over on the Rio Grande Southern,
yeah.
Dolores, and further. We had one into Durango, and I think there was... several carloads we took in to Pagosa Springs, and they worked on the forest.
Yeah. Now, there was a CCC camp right up here where the college is right now?
Right here. This the
right where we're sitting almost.
Yes, sir. I cleared the ground right here and built a golf course here for the golf club.
Yeah.
All and right. because it was clear and nice, well, the government wanted this ground for the CC camp.
Yeah.
And they got it.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to move the CC camp then made a golf course to the east of the present library mm-hmm. building here that we're talking about.
Yeah. Tell me something. They planted a lot of trees up here, didn't they?
Yes.
Why did they plant trees up here on this mesa?
Well, they...
And
they
what were, kind of trees?
Well, they were cedars and pinyons.
Yeah.
But the edge of the hill was all trees. The other part was sagebrush.
All right.
So,
up here on the mesa with sagebrush.
The mesa with sagebrush.
Yeah.
I've hunted rabbits around off this country up here.
Right up here.
Yeah.
During the war, there was an airport up here, right?
There was an airport.
Before the war, this was a homestead of the Weehee, or wasn't it one of the early homesteaders?
Well,
there was Weehee?
Several people claimed that they were involved in homesteads up here. Mm-hmm. And I think Conrad claims his father...
You mean Sheriff Conrad?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Claims that his father was around the Gigline Gulch area.
Yes, all right.
Mm-hmm. And which would involve part of this area.
Yes, it would. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, all right. You think of anything else about the CCC or the any of those programs?
Well, we started to... we had the airport before the CC camps started up here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
just for gravel...
I was the one that we had a gravel pit right at the base of the hill here
okay.
on 8th Street,
mm-hmm.
and I graveled this airport.
Uh-huh.
And I was running the crew.
Mm-hmm.
I got smart eventually and got to out of my hand labor and started to use my brain a little bit.
All right. You were the boss.
I was the boss.
Okay. All right. Now, going back to the war years and what they were hauling and... did you have any problem with the Army, or was this railroad considered essential in any way that you had guards any special place or
no,
anything like that?
No, we didn't have any guards here. But we, in 1941, of course, we were very low here. The business was way down because yeah. I went and worked on the Santa Fe out of Gallup for a couple of 3 months until the business picked up here in the fall. And the... after that, then the ore out of the Telluride area and from the Silverton area commenced to come in here, and we had lots of business.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shipped. We didn't have any smelter though, so we had ore had to go to Leadville.
Mm-hmm.
It went to Amarillo.
Yeah.
Went to Salt Lake.
Pueblo.
Well, they didn't have anything in Pueblo.
Nothing Pueblo
no,
to smell.
No smelter.
All right. But now this ore came on the Rio Grande Southern, mm-hmm. But there was such an interlocking directorate, and so much of the stock of the Rio Grande Southern was owned by the Denver and Rio Grande, that it didn't make any difference. It was all one railroad, really.
Practically,
yeah.
Practically, at this time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So even
In fact, the Rio Grande Southern was under receivership. A different receivership in the Denver and Rio Grande.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. You think of anything else during the war? Or the war years that might be interesting to anybody researching this. Any other attempts at abandonment? Or
There was no attempts at abandonment except in well, let's see, 1941, let's see, was it in Santa Fe Branch, of course, we had that's where our first trouble came in with the abandonment of the railroad in the war years. In 1942, we got rid of the Santa Fe branch.
Well, tell me about the Santa Fe branch, what you call the Santa Fe branch.
Well,
where'd it go from?
It went from Anoneta to Santa Fe.
To Santa Fe, okay. And that was called what?
The Chili Line.
Chili Line, all right.
And
it was narrow gauge, too?
It was narrow gauge.
All right.
Yeah. We had no indication that they were going to build a big town down out there out of Espanola.
Yeah, at Los Alamos.
Los Alamos.
Yeah.
We had no indication except that they weren't hauling any grain out of the valley. The hay and stuff that were car after car, they probably had 100-some-odd cars just on the railroad that they weren't delivering at Santa Fe. I don't know what the reason why it was, but we had information. We gathered it from farmers in the valley, and I had a big file of stuff here for Laverne McKelvey, who was the Secretary of the Chamber of Commerce. And I don't know who actually asked Senator Ed Johnson, but a lot of people in New Mexico was after Senator Chavez to have a hearing.
Senator Dennis Chavez, yeah.
And between the two of them, we had three senatorial hearing here. That is, Senator from Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought out all of the failures of the railroad, of what refusal to handle the equipment. At that time, we were handling freight on passenger, which was a violation of the railroad contract with the trainmen and engine men, because they're two separate services.
Yes.
And two different classes of pay.
Yeah.
So we were very interested in getting running more trains, freight trains, with the stuff into Farmington, or into Santa Fe.
Santa Fe.
So that we would have freight business instead of trying to handle it in baggage cars, which they were doing on passenger trains. As far as I can understand, it was a very good meeting. It brought to light just exactly what the Rio Grande was trying to do. But due to the fact that we didn't have the information from Durango was pilfered, and we went over there with a bunch of newspapers in the file. Probably nobody knows that, but Lord McKelvey and I and Jim Feeney. Why, we just couldn't testify.
Yeah. Your material was gone.
Material was gone.
Uh-huh. And it had been taken here in Durango
somewhere. It was taken here in Durango somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that line was abandoned then.
That was abandoned in 1942.
In 1942.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that, you see, that was a line that could have linked up this whole area with Santa Fe and the Santa Fe Railroad.
That's
is
right.
This not correct? This is the importance of it.
Yeah.
Because the spur ran right up to where the Chili Line ended down there.
Yeah.
I mean, the Santa Fe spur now.
We were parallel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Could have been an outlet for coal. It could have been an outlet for an awful lot of things.
One of the things that bothered me at that time was the New Mexico Central could not handle the business, get it transferred fast enough, or couldn't get the cars.
Yeah.
See, that come in there, too. There's so many little things that you never think about that keep pushing things to the under the cover, or under the rug, or under this, so you could...
Things that aren't apparent.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Because of some policy set
in
Denver or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they abandoned that whole line then between Antonito and Santa Fe.
Uh-huh.
1942. And nobody missed it because of the war or anything like that? No.
I guess not. They never said anything.
Nobody protested.
However, it was a boon to the Silverton branch. They
Why?
Well, we commenced to get, after they got Fort Carson going, probably in 43, while we commenced to get all of the railroaders that were inducted and were in Fort Carson come down to ride the Silverton.
Sure.
So we would have one or two coaches full of passengers, plus the caboose. And we learned a lot about what the railroads are doing all over the country.
I bet you
just
did.
Letting things go and how they performed their duties in reporting to the ICC or to the PUCs or the public commission, whatever it happened to be in the...
Where did they train soldiers to run locomotives, as they had to do in Europe once they got there, a few of them?
I really don't know. Most of them were supposed to be engineers before they got
there. Before they got there, okay.
Yeah.
So they were already trained.
They were already trained.
Okay. during the war, what went out of here? What went out of Durango mainly? Was there much increase in...
Oh, we had a big increase in stock shipments and beans and lumber.
Pinto beans, lumber.
And ore.
Ore, so of course, yeah, we've mentioned.
At one period of time, we had over 200 cars of ore on the road between Silverton and Alamosa because there was too much business to be handled that fall.
Okay.
And the price dropped. I think Charlie Chase, the manager of the Shenandoah, lost about $20,000 just in one crack on that.
On
price
that.
Of ore dropped. Mm-hmm. Price of metal. And then come into the caboose for a cup of coffee.
Okay. Tell me about that, how your public relations when you're running these trains.
Well, it was always customary to have stockmen on the caboose running out, going out with their cattle or sheep to give them coffee. We did that for years. Everything
Happened
here. So we
nothing else, no food.
No food.
You didn't have any food there.
Well, if we had any, we dried it up with the passengers, see, if they didn't bring a lunch with them. Many times they brought great big hampers of food and throw them off in Alamosa to be picked up on their return.
Yes.
But here in this Silverton, when we were building up, building up the business, we were just taking care of the present business.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided we'd let them all come into the caboose and have a cup of coffee. And we did.
Mm-hmm.
And they liked it. And that kept on until finally when we got down to the more cars, we couldn't all put them in the...
couldn't get them in the caboose.
Couldn't get them in the caboose.
No.
And so when they took the caboose off, why then we... well, before they took the caboose off, I poured coffee for I don't know how many years that I was on there in little cups.
Yeah.
Never spilled a drop.
All right.
And that was made several rotograve sections all over the country.
Yes, I've seen them.
And
what did you have to heat this coffee on?
Well, we made it on the caboose stove.
On that big round stove there?
I had two great big coffee pots.
Yeah.
Well, but that was one of the things that we were working for public relations, to get the people to talk about, ride to Silver.
And that did make the rotogravure section of quite a few newspapers.
Quite a few newspapers.
I think they're in there in the files.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Think of anything else that you engineered during that time that helped the railroad or hurt the railroad?
Well, let's see. That was in the 47.
Were there any times during the war that... the snow kept you from going up to Silverton or anything like that?
No, we actually didn't stay locked on the Silverton branch during the war years for some reason or other. I don't remember any.
Okay.
The last time that they we didn't go up there was in 1952. And that was, the road was blocked in for about a month or three before they started to open it up to bring the ore out to get to...
Okay, and that was because of snow slides.
Snow slides, yeah.
Uh-huh, okay. What was the main snow slide, do you remember, in 1952?
Well, They were all down, as I remember.
They were all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Needleton area and north of there.
All the way from there to Silverton.
To Silverton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the 30s, we had snow up there. At one time, I left Durango. Well, I wasn't on the work train that went up there. Oscar House was the conductor. And he stayed as far till he got about to Test Spur, and then he gave it up. He didn't want it. He'd rather go braking than running a train.
Mm-hmm.
So I caught it, and I stayed on that then till we got to Elk Park. The snow at Elk Park was, if I stood in between the rails, was just the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And that
this had been plowed by a rotary plow?
No, you couldn't use a rotary.
Couldn't use a rotary there?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Too many rocks and too much timber in the snow.
Just beat it up. Yeah, right.
The only time they ever used it was they broke it down the first time they went into a slide. But they had finally had to bring down all the general managers and everybody else up there to keep everybody happy. That's when they hauled the mail and everything by burros from up above Needleton into Silverton.
Into Silverton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. No other plans for abandonment or anything like that during those war years, huh?
We never heard of any.
Okay.
They were very quiet. However, after the war years, they were hauling this freight on passenger, and which was a violation, and.
Violation of the Brotherhood rules.
Of the Brotherhood rules.
Yeah.
And I think you'll have to look at my suitcase, because I have a letter in there that I wrote to every one of the employees that were involved in this thing to get them to change their mind to so we could negotiate a contract.
Yes.
And I got a very good response. They all agreed. So we had, before we could proceed any further, I took Jay Channel, who was the Secretary of the Chamber of Commerce. He also had the Dodge Agency here. And Elmer Decker, a stockman, was supposed to have another businessman, but he couldn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
And we met with Judge McCarthy. In fact, this was after they went out of receivership. We met with Judge McCarthy, and he told those two men the railroad story.
Yes.
And so I had to disagree with him, and I told him that was wrong. And I proved my point by Mr. Ray, who was the vice president in charge of contracts. And Mr. Ray sided with me and was right.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that freight back on passenger again.
Mm-hmm.
We were running 4 baggage cars a day into Durango.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't about 6 months later, they decided that maybe a year later, I don't know the exact time, but they decided that they didn't want it that way, so they would load it into trailer trucks, uh-huh. And they'd haul those trailers on flat cars.
On the flat car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they hauled them out of Pueblo on the night passenger train with a little engine. Well, they didn't have very good luck. And eventually, the ICC ruled against them that was another violation of the contract, so they had to pay another sum of money, $30,000 or $40,000 for pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were an official in the Brotherhood.
Well, I was
this time
legislative chairman there, and I was also, not till later did I become local chairman.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you think of anything else happened in those years during the war, and let's say up 1945, 46?
I don't know very much.
Okay.
At that time, because I was pretty busy on the ration board about that time.
Yeah, right. On the ration board.
Yeah.
Tell me about that during the war.
Well, we had a little difficulty.
You see, young college kids, they don't know about coupons and things like that.
Oh, they don't?
Shoes and
coupons for shoes and sugar
and things like that. Tell me about it.
If they want to think that's the way to distribute gasoline so they can run over the country, it's a very poor way to do it.
Yeah.
We had, they had some difficulty in Durango with the original ration board. I don't know just what they were supposed to be doing, that there was wrong, but anyway, they were ousted. And a new group was put in. And then the new group then elected me chairman of the ration board. And I stayed chairman then during the war. Finished the war years and several years afterwards as war price chairman.
Right.
And where we collected the overcharging of certain businesses to the public.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we had a lot of people over the.
You didn't get paid for that.
No.
Not a bit.
No, this is all free.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The use of gasoline by people.
Yeah. I know. Go ahead and tell me why this doesn't work as far as a way to save gasoline.
Well, my first big trouble started with the Vanadium Corporation.
Who was head of it at that time?
I don't remember here at that time who was over here.
Okay.
But anyway, the Army...
Page Edwards?
That was